This is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. I'm Jennifer Staten. Roxanne Strong really, really likes her job. She calls it her passion that brings her overwhelming joy. She works the front desk at the Salvation Army's downtown Austin shelter. Strong's often the first point of contact for people who call or come in looking for help. Perhaps she feels so passionate about her job because she was once that person who came into the Salvation Army looking for help. 10 years ago, Strong was an addict. We've been hearing a lot about addicts in the news because of the opioid crisis. Roxanne Strong did not become an opioid addict, but her story is a very graphic look at what life as an addict is like. I talked with Strong earlier this fall at the Salvation Army's downtown Austin shelter. She told me her addiction started with smoking marijuana as a 15-year-old in her hometown of San Antonio. That led to stronger and stronger drugs, including speed and cocaine.
I know that my physical part of me was, you know, not eating, so I was losing weight. But I didn't really notice it at the time, I guess, because, you know, I was high. It just felt like my body craved it every day. That became my drug of choice back then.
How would you describe your emotional life at that time? Your spiritual and your mental state during this?
I don't even think I had a spiritual connection by this time. You know, I kept thinking, you know, and hoping that, you know, God had me, but I also, in my mind, was like, there's no way that he would love me like this. I just felt like that's where my life was going to go. There was a 2-year span between my children. So for the next 2 years, you know, it was chasing that drug again and getting high. Yeah, and then trying to, you know, of course, be a mom at the same time. You know, and in my mind, it was like, he's just a little baby. He doesn't know what I'm doing. But today I know, you know, I know that no matter how old they are, they know what's going on. They know something's going on. They don't know everything, but they know something's not there. We ended up moving back to San Antonio, which is where my parents lived. The cycle just continued, you know, getting high, not getting high, getting beat on, calling the cops. I mean, it's just a vicious cycle went on. And I finally got up enough nerve to leave him and stay gone and met another man. Him and I partied a little bit, but he was not the kind of person that would stay doing drugs.
How did you find your way to a life without using drugs?
With this person, I ended up having 2 children with him. You know, he's a hardworking man, and ended up moving here to Austin, you know. And like, again, you know, I'd stay sober for a long period of time, try to be the best mom I could, and then I would just dabble a little bit. And my life was so good. My life, I could not have asked for more. I was sober. I had 3 beautiful children, a house, and started shooting drugs. By my choice, of course, but that's when things really, really began to fall apart. It was either go to treatment, get sober, or, you know, get out. And so that started the vicious cycle of treatment. In treatment, come out, do really good for a while, relapse, back in. And then, again, I met another man and ended up getting pregnant with his baby. Again, tried to have that perfect little life. You know, he was a recovering addict, met him in treatment, you know, and everything was good. House, all of that. Again, I actually got introduced to crack with him. I had never tried crack before. Crack cocaine is what took me to my knees.
What happened with crack cocaine?
Literally for crack. I had found myself doing anything to get some crack. My daughter was, she at this time was my 5th child. She was around 9 months old. I wanted to get high. To this day, I mean, I can see myself walking out that door, going to get high. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have any money. You know, I wasn't working. But I walked out that door, and that's when I went to Runberg in Austin, and didn't know what to do because I didn't have money, but I knew I wanted to get high. The next thing I know, I was, I guess, introduced to prostitution. As humiliating and disgusting as that might be, and as dangerous, I did it for crack, for something that didn't last 10 or 15 minutes. And then that cycle began for years. That's how I survived in the streets. I'd rather go live in the woods at that time than take my money and go spend it on a motel room, because I knew I would go, I could at least go get some crack with that money, and I'll just go sit in the woods and get high.
How did you get from the life you were describing, living in the woods and doing whatever you could to earn money to get crack and get high, how did you get from that existence to where you are and what you've achieved today?
God and my, at that time, my newborn granddaughter. One day I was coming out of the woods and I hear, you know, my kids are, you know, growing up. I hadn't seen them in a long time. And I hear this mom, and my heart stopped because I knew that was my son. And I turned around and it was. And he had my newborn granddaughter in the car. I couldn't touch her. All I could do was look at her. For the next 3 days, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. That day, I really, truly, every ounce of me was praying and ready to surrender. I finally did. At that time, I don't think I realized that I was surrendering. And I knew that I had to sober up. Because I was a grandmother, excuse me, I was a nana. I refused to be a grandmother.
Do you have words or advice or thoughts for people who might be in the position that you were in years ago?
I get it. Do not give up. It can be done. You can have a better life than you had. Just don't give up.
Roxanne Strong, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You are very welcome. It's my pleasure.
Roxanne Strong now has 4 grandchildren and calls her life these days a dream come true. You can hear more of our discussion at KUT.org.